Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
A few weeks ago, I spoke to you about the veil is torn. And I thank Jesus for the cross because he made a way that we could access into the throne room of God individually. Then I had Dr. Clayton Coombs come and speak about the history of, what happened with the church and, that we're all called to be priests. We're a kingdom of priesthood. Now, I'm glad that a priest doesn't look like somebody who just wears black and has white around their neck. That doesn't mean you're a priest. A priest means that you are a child of God, and each one of us in the New Testament, what does a priest do? They minister to God and they minister to people. That's what they do. And their job is to keep the fire burning, by the way. That was one of the jobs of the priest, is keep the fire burning. God brought the fire. The priest was to keep the fire burning. And each one of us, our job is to keep the fire burning in our lives. Old Testament, you'd have to pray through a priest or go through a priest. New Testament is we have direct access to God, and it's pretty awesome. And the high priest, he had access to the Holy of Holies, which is where the glory of the Lord was. It's where the Ark of God is, which represented the presence of God. And because the curtain was torn from top to bottom, the Bible says that we have access, that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. An interesting side note is wherever the Ark or the glory of God was or went, there was breakthrough. Wherever the glory of God went, there was breakthrough. That's why the Ark of the Covenant was so important to lead the children of Israel, because when it led them, they knew they were going to step into breakthrough. So obviously breakthrough comes because of God's glory. In the New Testament, there is no tabernacle. We are the tabernacle. We are the temple, which means then wherever we go, there should be breakthrough, because we carry the presence of God. Touch your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, there's breakthrough sitting next to you because God's living in me. Now, I asked Dr. Clayton and Pastor Scott, who's finishing his master's degree, our Bible college principal. His lovely wife, Pearl, is sitting next to him today. I said, I want you to give me a definition of glory. Glory means this. God's glory is a breakout of God's presence that results in supernatural abundance, miraculous victory, and overflow that brings dignity and honor to what God is doing among us and through us. I want you to get that. We're going to put that up. God's glory is a breakout of God's presence that results in supernatural abundance. Amen for that. Miraculous victory. Amen for that. Thank you, Northeast. Overflow that brings dignity and honor. Thank you, Southeast. Amen to that. To what God is doing among us and through us. And then it is, like a bright light, this will be impossible to ignore and will increase the honor, fame, and reputation of Jesus through us. Old Testament, the word for glory was kabod, which means weight. New Testament, it means brightness. So weight and brightness. God wants to put his weight on your life, and he wants your light to shine how awesome he is. So that's very important to understand. Weight and brightness. It says that the reputation of Jesus through us, the rapid and miraculous increase of God's glory increases in both weight and brightness. So when we talk about a year of breakthrough and glory, obviously when we carry God's presence, breakthrough comes. So this year, God wants to see the miraculous increase of both weight and brightness of who God is. This year is the year that God's presence results in supernatural abundance, miraculous victory, and overflow that brings dignity and to honor to what God is doing amongst us and through us. This is a year of breakthrough and glory. So breakthrough comes out of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 18. It says, I love this. This is very cool. That's very red. It says, he has enabled us to be ministers. What is a minister? It's a priest, a minister, to ministers of his new covenant. The curtain's torn. We are now ministers, each one of us. We don't need to go through a minister. We are ministers. You know, I have people pray for me at times because they have an authority in a certain area, but doesn't mean they're better than me. It just means they're a minister that God has given a grace for, but we all have grace to minister. It says, this is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. Thank God we don't live by the law. We live by the Spirit. Keep going. The old written covenant ends in death. Thank you very much. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Old covenant, death. New covenant, life. Which one do you want to live in? Religion gets you to live in death. Relationship gets you to live in life. Keep going. The old ways with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. He had an encounter with God on the mountain and his face come and it came back in his shine. Let's keep going. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? In the old way, which brings condemnation, if the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way that makes us right with God? We are the righteousness of Christ. Pretty cool. In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with overwhelming glory of the new way. So we are now in a era that the glory that we carry is, there's nothing that can compare with this era. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, so the glory in the Old Testament wasn't bad, it was great, and Moses had encountered with God, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Keep going. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Think about that. Old Testament, they would have to go to a priest who had to do sprinkle all these things, had to get everything right in his own life, and then go into the Holy of Holies. And you would be dependent on someone else's preparation. You would be, you know, you'd be sitting, I hope the priest has been good. I hope everything goes well. I hope we got the right mix here. There would be this inconfidence because there was no direct relationship. It was through something else. If you have a relationship through something else, you don't have confidence in the source. But in this new way called the new covenant, we can be confident. That's why the Bible says, enter the throne room of grace boldly. Come with confidence. Why? Because we come out of a relationship with the God, with God himself, not a relationship with God through someone else. We are not like Moses, who put a veil on his face so that the people of Israel would not see the glory. I love this about what we're living in right now. We don't have to cover what we carry, even though it was destined to fade away. Here we go. But the people's minds were hardened on this day whenever the old covenant is being read. Keep going. The same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth, and this veil cannot be removed only by believing in Christ. Everyone say, believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not see. So there's a veil on people's hearts through unbelief. Keep going. But, everyone say but. One of the three great letters in the Bible is but. You say, why is that? Because the situation is this, but God steps in. I've got sickness, but God heals my body. I've got challenges in my life, but God is able to supply. The three-letter word, which is an amazing word. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is cool. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you think about the devil's plan. I'm going to create a veil between God and man. I'm going to create it even in a priesthood so that people will have this in-between, so we can control them like in through religion or through different situations so that they can't be free. They're so dependent on someone else. God doesn't want us to be dependent or independent either. He wants us to be interdependent. In other words, we need each other, but God is the source of our need. So go back one more. Back to, for the Lord is spirit, sorry. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is... For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, Jesus was the greatest liberator of all time. He liberated us from bondage of religion. He liberated us from the law. He liberated women. He liberated men. He liberated slaves. He liberated our families. He is the ultimate liberator. And he is the one who, you see, the reason why God puts, requirements of obedience to us isn't to control us, it's actually to protect us. He's a liberator. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now, God does put people in your life to be teachers, but their job is to point you to Jesus, not to themselves. Amen? And so we're going to look just real briefly at some points out of this scripture. The first thing, as I said before, number one, is this. Breakthrough comes out of the glory of God. That's a pretty cool thing. Because the covenant we live in, the glory lives in us. So we have breakthrough in us. In our very DNA, there is breakthrough. When we came to Melbourne and they said, how do you think you're going to go? I said, we are going to go good. They said, why is that? I said, not because I'm good, but because who I carry. You know, we have a church here now, 17,000 people, and now we have four international campuses, not because we're any great. No. It's because who we carry. And when you understand who you carry, that means schools are affected, universities are affected, families are affected, community is affected. We are the change agents because we've got the change agent living in us. His name's Jesus. You don't have to go to a priest, to go to a tabernacle who goes into the Holy of Holies to get the glory of God. You and I, because of Jesus, tore the curtain from top to bottom, and now we can go right in. We are now ministers unto God and ministers from God to his community and his people, because you have breakthrough in you, because you have glory in you. So we're all ministers of the new covenant. Notice it's the new covenant. I'm old enough to see politics and see how different cabinet people, their different portfolios have changed. I think 30 years ago, there was not a minister for information and technology. Or now you have somebody whose job is to look after the internet and the NBN, which really is so slow, it drives me bananas. Supposed to be this new U-Boot thing, and it's zzz, and when everyone's on, it's zzz, thank you very much. Fix it, amen. I'm venting on the platform because it's where the anointing is, so it gets more powerful as it's been released. But we have now ministers in the government who have different portfolios that you didn't have 100 or 200 years ago. Why? Because it's a new era. The same is it here, that we are in a new covenant, so we are ministers of a new era. Since the cross, there's a new era. The third thing you need to know is this: ministry that God has given us brings life, not death. That's why as a church, we choose, and as Christians, people say, what do you think of this issue and this issue and this issue? And we'll tell the truth in love, what we think of issues, but we don't preach against things, we preach for things. It's his kindness that leads us to his repentance, not his judgment. It's his kindness. And in the new covenant, you preach life, you don't preach death. The world don't need you to prophesy how bad things are. They live it. They want you to prophesy what God can do in their life. They want you to prophesy what you can, they can do with God. They want you to prophesy the potential they carry. You see, it's His kindness that changes us. And when we experience Him and we come into encounter with Him, it's not what I'm telling them that changes them. It's what He tells them that changes them. I lead them to truth. But He's the one who reveals truth. Holy Spirit's job. Amen. We live in a ministry that brings life now, New Covenant. The New Covenant has a greater glory. I love that. Moses had such amazing encounters that they had to put a veil on his face. But God is saying the New Covenant has a greater glory. We are stepping into seasons where we are going to encounter His glory and His presence like we've never encountered it before. And as I've always say, hunger is what attracts fire, the oxygen and the heat of heaven. It's the fuel. And so to experience greater glory, it's not that the greater glory isn't there. It's just we got to hunger more for it. Not hunger out of a way of works, but hunger out of a way of desire. God has greater. Everyone say, God has greater. A greater year. Come on, a greater year. A greater season. He's got best for my family. He's got the best for Melbourne and whatever campus you're from. He's got the best. Because we've got a greater glory. And this new way, number five, gives us confidence. You know, when we started this church, people say, how do you feel? I said, happy, scared. They go, what do you mean happy, scared? I said, I'm so happy I'm doing the will of God, but I'm scared what it's going to look like. But I'm confident He said it, so it's going to come about. I don't know exactly how it's going to look, but I know it's going to be good. It's going to be a journey. There's going to be some ups and there's going to be some lows, but I know that He that has started a good work will complete it. Why? Because I've seen Him face to face. I've been with Him face to face. I got in His presence and He whispered in my ear. I read the Word and I read the accounts of His miracles. I read the Logos of what He says, but He also gave me Rhema word. He gave me an utterance from His own mouth to declare what He wants to do, empowering generations to win generations. I'll call you to be spokesmen on the earth. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's our relationship with Him that keeps us moving forward, and we're confident. You might have messed up yesterday, but His mercies are new every morning. You might have had a hurt yesterday, but He comes and heals you today. I'm confident that what God is going to do is going to blow your mind. Why? Because that's who He is. He's a mind blower. He says, I want to show you things that will totally transform you. Because you carry glory. You say, well, how? How do I live in that zone? By believing. You see, the veil of doubt, the veil of discouragement, the veil of hurt, the veil of loneliness is removed by believing in Christ. We choose to be believers, not skeptics. There's so many skeptics, you don't need to have any faith to be a skeptic. We're believers. We believe in Him because He's a believer in us. He's a believer in the earth. That's why He came and He died for our sin. Why? Because He believes in us. And He believes so much in us, He gave us a deposit called the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And He says, I'm going to give you power, ability, efficiency, and might. He knows what He's put in you. He knows what you carry. He believes in you. And what stops people from living in revelation is unbelief. Be a believer. Say, I come out of agreement with that lie. I am a believer. I don't live by facts. I live by truth. Because freedom is released when we see Jesus. Freedom's released. I've never been at an altar call that I had an encounter with God or had a moment in my car driving, because that's generally where I have encounters with God, and I have to pull over the side of the road, or I'm driving with tears running down my face, and if I'm speeding, I say, God, you fix it up. No, I don't really. But I've never had that moment where I encountered his presence that I went out and go, well, I don't think so. No, because when I see him, I start thinking like he does. When I see him, I start operating like he does. Notice that Ephesians 2:6 says that we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. He hasn't seated us at his feet, he seated us at his table. Oh, we might worship at his feet sometimes, but he wants us to come up higher and sit at his table and see as he sees and hear his discourse. He doesn't want you to sit up like a little kid and not know the maturity he wants you to bring you into. He says, come and sit at the table, son. Come and sit at the table, daughter. I want to show you. Look at me, look in my eyes, look in what I'm saying, hear what I'm saying, look at the inflection. Have you ever noticed? I can hear somebody, but when I see how they say it, it totally changes the meaning of what they say. Because their face reflects what they're saying. Like, I love you. Oh, that's nice. And then you look at their face. I love you. You're like, wow, they really do love me. If I'm hearing from a distance, I'll have some belief. But if I'm up close and personal, I really believe. That's why if I tell you he loves you, I'm in between the discourse. What I'm trying to say is, you hear him. And he says, look at my eyes. I love you. My brother and I were brought up in church, heard about God our whole life. I remember my brother one day when he's 15, 16, he says, God, are you really who my parents say you are? Jesus, I believe you're a historical figure. History says that, but are you really the Son of God? And he had this vision of Jesus on the cross, and blood was dripping from his body, and it was like the blood, each drop went into slow motion. And as each drop hit the ground, it was like this thunder, this earthquake. But my brother was not put off by the earthquake. His eyes and Jesus' eyes connected. And Jesus' eyes were eyes of love, eyes of fire, eyes of compassion. He also had eyes of pain because he was taking our sin. And as a drop would hit the ground, he would hear Jesus speak to him as they looked into each other's eyes and said, that drop was for you, Ashley. That drop was for you. My brother came out of this vision. He got on his knees and then he lay on his face in his room and said, Jesus, I believe in you. I just don't believe because my parents told me you are real. I believe because I now have seen with my own eyes and heard with my own ears that you are real. You see, I want to encourage you. God, I want to help keep turning us towards Jesus so we can hear what he says. And he says, hey, I believe in you. Hey, I've got a great thing for you. Hey, situations might be tough, but I'm bigger than any situation. And by the way, you're only on a 70 to 80, 90 year journey. You got eternity with me. You see, removing the veil, freedom is released when we see Jesus. Removing the veil reflects who we see and reflects his glory. See, I can tell when my children have been with God. Why? Because they reflect who God is like. I can tell when they haven't either. I can tell when I have, and I can tell when I haven't. Because when I have, I'm soft. When I have, I'm strong. How can you be soft and strong at the same time? Because he's both that. When I've been with him, I'm compassionate. When I'm being with him, I'm for justice. When I've been with him, I want to see the sick healed. When I've been with him, nothing's impossible. When I've been with him, I'm a generous person. When I've been with him, I have grace in long lines at airports. When I've been with him, my behavior changes when I be with him. I don't get as frustrated as I would normally. When I be with him, I reflect his love and look for people to show his love to. When I be with him, I worship better. I worship stronger. When I be with him, I don't have to be encouraged to praise. I just want to praise. When I be with him, when the offering comes out, I say, well, how much? He says, that much. You go, in the past, if I hadn't been with him, I wouldn't even asked him. And if he had said that, I would have said, no way, Jose. But because I've been with him, I said, yes way, Jesus. No way, Jose was yesterday. Yes way, Jesus is today. And as I've been with him, I'm changed and I reflect him. The reason the world doesn't see the glory of God like it should is because we've been with other people and other things. You are so nice to preach to. Seeing Jesus makes us more like him. So here's a synopsis, and I'm going back to the definition of glory. The glory of the Lord comes in us turning to Jesus and now carrying his presence. Thus, wherever you go, the temple of the Holy Spirit, you bring breakthrough because you carry glory. Let me say that again. The glory of God comes in us turning to Jesus. The veil's removed. We turn to Jesus and now we carry his presence. Thus, wherever we go, we, the temple of the Holy Spirit, carry glory. We bring breakthrough because you are glory carriers. So let's go back to the definition of glory. God's glory is a breakout of God's presence. So you carry this. That results in supernatural abundance. So when you step into your workplace, you're carrying supernatural abundance. Miraculous victory. You say, well, why aren't I seeing that as much? Well, maybe you're not seeing him enough. Overflow that brings dignity and honor to what God is doing amongst us and through us. Like a bright light, this will be impossible to ignore and will increase honor, fame, and reputation of Jesus through us. And the rapid and miraculous increase of God's glory increases both weight, what we carry, and the brightness of what he wants to do. You are glory carriers. You are a breakthrough in a human body. Wow. Next week and the week after, when we're coming and giving our breakthrough offering, our breakthrough and glory offering, our miracle offering, you know what we're doing? We're releasing what we carry. Income doesn't carry us, we carry it. Money is a servant, not a master. So what we're saying is we're coming in faith to release what God has put in our hands, to release breakthrough, to release brightness, to release salvation, to release miracles, to release healing. And you know what happens as we release it? The Bible says, throw your bread on the water and see it come back to you. So in other words, what we're releasing is like a boomerang. It comes back to us, but it comes back not in onefold or twofold or fivefold. It comes tenfold, hundredfold, a thousandfold. We are releasing glory, and the nature of God is what you release into him comes back to you supernaturally. And everything we do is to release breakthrough for the people, for what he actually came for. He didn't come for a building. He didn't come for a fashion label. He didn't come for a sporting event. He came for the people that build the buildings. He came for the people who run the fashion. He came for the people who play the sport. He comes for people. We give because it's about people. We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.